SBS Radio.
Drage poslušalke in dragi poslušalci, poslušate slovensko oddajo na radiju SBS širom Australije in po svetu na ta dan, sobota 3. novembra 2018. Upam, da uživate o poslušanju današnje oddaje, ki jo skrbno vodi Tanja Smrdelj. Taborišče Bonagila v bližini Wodonge v severni Viktoriji je v letih od 1947 do 1971 sprejelo tisoče novih priseljencev in beguncev v organizaciji International Refugee Organization ali Mednarodne begunske organizacije. V tem času je taborišče Bonagila sprejelo več kot 320 tisoč ljudi. Mnogi Slovenci, med njimi tudi veliko število naših poslušalcev, ki so takrat prišli v Avstralijo, so se prav tako znašli v tem taborišču. Tam je bil vaš prvi dom pod Južnim križem. Vabljeni ste na posebno srečanje v Bonagili pod imenom Bonagila Reunion and Annual Back to Bonagila Migrant Camp Gathering, ki se je že pričelo včeraj, petek 2. novembra in se danes, sobota 3. novembra, nadaljuje, tako da smo v našo oddajo povabili organizatorko gospo Bernadette Zanet, da nam več zaupa, kaj so pripravili za ta dogodek in zakaj je ta kraj tako pomemben ne le za Slovence, ampak za vse priseljence, begunce in migrante, ki so takrat prišli v Avstralijo. Gospo Bernadette, imam sedaj na telefonski liniji. Bernadette Zanet, team leader from the Bonagila Migrant Experience, welcome to the Slovenian program on SBS Radio.
Oh, hello, Lenti. Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Bernadette, we received some information regarding the event that's taking place this weekend. Well, it started yesterday, Friday the 2nd of November, continuing on to today, Saturday the 3rd of November. Tell us more about the event, especially considering so many of our listeners passed through Bonagila Camp and it was their first home in Australia. And I can also mention that my parents, older sister and two older brothers, were also in Bonagila upon arriving in Australia 50 years ago. So it's quite symbolic for me personally, as well as many of our other listeners who are currently listening to the Slovenian program.
It's a symbolic place for me as well, Lenti, because my father and my father-in-law came through Bonagila as well. So we're part of that larger Bonagila family that's residing throughout all parts of Australia. They say that there's approximately 1.2 million of us who have direct family connections to the place that is the Bonagila Migrant Camp. So our event that we're holding today is a celebration of those extended families, and it's a celebration of those decisions that our parents and grandparents and aunties and uncles made in the late 40s and the early 50s and even into the 60s to migrate from their home countries and to start a new life in Australia.
Where does your family originate from?
So both my father and my father-in-law came from Italy, and they both married Australian women.
Bernadette, what about a brief history of the facility itself? Bonagila existed for many decades.
So the camp was originally built in the 1940s as part of the war effort. So it was a working army facility or defence facility for those years during the war. But in 1947, the Australian government signed an agreement with the International Refugees Organisation to accept people who had found themselves displaced in the refugee camps that were throughout Europe. So as we know, there were millions of people that were unable to return to their countries for a variety of reasons. So at the end of 1947, the first, shipload of people arrived, and they were primarily from what are known as the Baltic states. So Latvia, Lithuania, there would have been Slovenians in there as well, Poles, and then until 1971, Australia continued to accept people who were either displaced, as I said, and then about 1952-53, it increased its migration program to include what's probably colloquially known as economic migrants, and that, as I said, continued right through until 1971 when the centre closed. So during that time, it's hard to get accurate numbers because there's actually been no definitive list made of the names of people that came through. But they estimate between 320,000 and 340,000 people passed through the doors of the Bonegilla migrant camp.
That's a massive number of people. And the other thing, of course, the Snowy Mountains scheme was in full swing at that time. Bonegilla isn't that far away from the Snowy Mountains.
That's right. So the primary purpose of the camp was, apart from its humanitarian effort in that sense, its primary purpose was to line people up with a job, give them an opportunity to learn some English language lessons, and then from Bonegilla, people were sent all over Australia to fulfil their two-year work contract that they had signed even before they had left their country. So the purpose of that two-year work contract was that once you had fulfilled that, you were eligible to apply to become a citizen of Australia. And that at the time was one of the few ways that you could gain citizenship as a non-British person.
Bernadette, what was life like in Bonegilla?
There's very varied reports on it, and the anecdotal information that we've received from people who come back and have a look through today is that it was a very large, busy place. It was full of lots of different nationalities, and different nationalities were often mixed in together in the different blocks. So there were 27 blocks operating. The description that's often given to me is that it was considered to be a place of hope, although others said it was also not easy. So people were feeling very dislocated and very unsure of their future. They'd made a huge gamble to come to this country so far away from Europe, and they weren't quite sure how they would be received and whether those promises that had been made to them by the immigration department would actually be fulfilled. And so there were times when there was a lot of unrest in the camp. There were riots in 1952 and in 1961 as well, and they were primarily because of that lack of knowing about what the future was. There was no jobs for people to go to at the time, and people just wanted to get on with their lives. They just wanted to get out there and get their families established and make a life for themselves. And so being stuck in a camp was a very difficult experience for them. It's a very difficult time when you're dislocated from your culture. It's a very difficult time when you're not sure or know whether your family members are okay. And it wasn't until people started to leave the camp and begin to keep on with their lives that I think that people were able to start to look back at their time there.
Bernadette, I visited Bonegilla in 1995. The Slovenian community in Melbourne, the Slovenian associations and the Slovenian church arranged multiple buses to travel to the destination. I think it was the 50th anniversary since the end of World War II, when a lot of the migrants were starting to arrive in Australia and coming to Bonegilla. And it was a place of emotion. I remember so many people on the buses getting off going, oh my goodness, I can remember that hut over there, or the Slovenians call them baraka. And they just got emotional, burst into tears. There was just this absolute outpouring of emotion from so many people during that trip 23 years ago. I'll never forget it. It was a place of emotion. That's the only way I could describe Bonegilla.
And even today, it's still very much a place that is a place of emotions, because we have people turn up every day who have those connections, and we have a lot of people who have no connection to it as well turn up, because people are really interested and want to understand how Australia today was formed. So the emotion is still very strong there, and I think particularly for the ex-residents when they come through and have a look at and start to think about some of the stories, it takes, even if their life has been, you know, a great life and or everything has gone well for them in their time in Australia, or even if it hasn't, it still, when they visit the site itself, it takes them back to that time 40 or 50 years ago when they had to make that, or their parents had to make that very difficult decision to leave their family and to move away from the familiar, to break out into a country that they weren't quite sure how it was going to end. So I think that's why the emotions get to people, and I understand it, and my staff understand it, and it's perfectly fine. We are just happy to be able to share a really personal time with people who, when they walk in the door, are strangers, but by the time they leave, we feel as though they're not, because we share in their story and we listen to their story.
Dear listeners, I'm speaking with Bernadette Zanette, who represents the Bonegilla Migrant Experience. Bernadette, what's on the cards this weekend? What have you got planned?
Yesterday, we had a day where we did some guided site tours for people that came through. We had a couple of author talks and a couple of researcher talks. And today is primarily, we're going to have tours that go through what's now known as Latchford Barracks. So this is a part of the camp that is closed off to the members of the public, as it is a operational army base. But the army guys have been very generous with us and allowed us to take in groups of people so that we can go and look at some more of those original blocks and some more of the central administration area, which is the main area where everybody congregated. So we'll have those tours. We've got genealogy experts on hand who can chat with people about how to research their family history. We've got the Albury Library Museum with some objects that they have in their collection, and they're interested in talking to people about how to record your oral history. We've got music, we've got food, we've got talks, and we've got our big reunion afternoon tea as well. So today's a day about connecting with other people and understanding that that little journey, or that big journey that these families made, is part of Australia's story. And that's what we want to celebrate, is, you know, how significant this change, how significant this large migration of people was on Australian society, and how much migration changed Australia from the 1950s onwards.
Indeed, that brings me to my next question. How many nationalities do you think were represented in Bonegilla?
We think that there, it would be safe to say, over 50 different nationalities.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's quite phenomenal, I think, just how many people and how many different nationalities are represented through the site. So we have a memorial plaque wall, and at the moment we did our last count and there were 30 different nationalities on that. And that's still building, and it's an opportunity for those people who came through the camp and their families to self-identify themselves and then add their names to the memorial plaque. So, yeah, many different nationalities.
Is the Slovenian community also represented there?
Yes, the Slovenian community is represented there, yeah.
Fabulous. Because so many Slovenians passed through Bonegilla and have many, I'd say, mostly positive memories to share of the place. In my parents' case, it was only 9 days. However, there were people who spent months there. Obviously, coming to a new country, not knowing the language, not being familiar with the customs, would have been a very challenging, if not a traumatic experience, and it still is today for all the new migrants who are, and refugees and asylum seekers who are arriving today in Australia from different parts of the world, not necessarily Europe.
And I agree with you there, Lenti. I think what we need to really acknowledge here is the resilience of people to be able to adapt to major changes. And we take our hat off to people who make that choice, because that choice to move, because we know through the stories that myself and my staff and my volunteers receive, is that it's not an easy process or an easy thing to do.
Most certainly not. Bernadette, thank you so much for speaking with us today. Where is more information available regarding the Bonegilla Migrant Experience, particularly if you do organise any more of these events in the future?
Our hope is to hold this as an annual event, but we'll be making, you know, announcement into mid to late next year The site is open 7 days a week, so people can come to visit. If you go to our webpage, so that's Bonegilla, BoneGilla.org.au. You can also follow us on our Facebook page, and that will keep you up to date. If when you go to our website, you can register to receive our e-newsletter, which we promise not to bombard people with, and we only send that out 4 times a year, but a great way to keep in touch. And I would encourage people in the Slovenian community, if you're interested in participating in something next year or at any time, if there's an important commemorative time that you wanted to celebrate, keep us in mind. We've got some lovely spaces where we can host a community gathering, and we welcome all different nationalities onto our site.
Bernadette Zanet, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. I'm sure our listeners gained a lot from our interview. We wish you all the very best with this year's function that's currently taking place, and we look forward to perhaps chatting with you in the future regarding any future events or any further information that can be provided to our listeners regarding this very important and, as I mentioned previously, place of emotion. Bonegilla really is a very emotional place for so many people at so many levels, and thank you so much once again for your time.
Thank you, Lenti. I've really appreciated it.
sbs.com.au